Well, welcome. And I would like to begin tonight by reviewing some of the points of God's great love for us that we got into last week. So take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," or made us alive together with Christ. "By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and caused us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." I would say that's great love indeed. It was God's idea, his plan, for us to be identified with Christ in his accomplishments. So he made us alive together with Christ, raised us up together with him, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. Not just for today, but for the ages to come. You know, just how much does God love us? Take a second and go to John chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. And Jesus Christ is praying. It's the night of his arrest. It's towards the end of his life. And he says, verse 23, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." How much does God love us? Well, he loves us as much as his only begotten Son. I'd say that's pretty great love, wouldn't you? And the remarkable thing, if you'll go to Romans 5, the remarkable thing is in chapter 5, in verse 5, it says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was or has been given unto us." God poured out his love to us in giving us that Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that gift of Holy Spirit. Verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We were yet sinners. We were dead in sin, and Christ died for us. Yeah, I would call that rather great love, wouldn't you? That he would love us as much as his only begotten Son, who always did his Father's will, to love those who were ungodly, without strength, and dead in sin, even his enemies, as much as him. Yeah, I would call that rather great love. And you know something? If you'll take a look, go to chapter 8 of Romans. Look at what God does for those who love him. Romans 8, verse 28. I want to read you this from the Nestle-Aland, Nestle-Aland. It's the Greek-English New Testament by Nestle-Aland. And he translates verse 28, "We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Look at that. What does God do for those that love him? In everything, God works for good with those who love him. You can read about these things. Just keep reading. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, and those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Look at that. The Father freely gives us all things with his Son. If you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and you believe that God has raised him from the dead, then you have that eternal life dwelling in you. And the Father freely gives you all things with his Son. And he only works for your good. It even gets better. Look down at verse 35, you've got a question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question. The answer is in 38 and 39. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What was the question? What can separate us from the love of Christ? The answer is nothing. So God works for our good in all things. He freely gives us all things with his Son, and nothing can separate us from him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's his great love for us wherewith he loved us. It is so far past our understanding. It's so far past anything that we could have ever thought or asked. His great love for us. Why would you ever get down on your case? These realities are ours because of his love for us and what he purposed in his Son. All of it is because of what he purposed in his Son and what he accomplished by his accomplishments. We simply received it by the grace of God. Look at 1 John. I wasn't going to cover this, but I might as well. And I want to read this to you from the Working Translation through Volume 2, A Journey Through the Acts and the Epistles, the Working Translation. And in Chapter 4, let's see. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another because the love is from God. And anyone who loves in this manner is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God because God is love. Verse 9. By this the love of God was manifested in us. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Verse 10, by this is the love. The article is in the Greek. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, not only does God abide in us, but his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we're abiding in him as well as he in us. He has given us from his Spirit. Verse 14, and as we have seen, and we are bearing witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we know, we have known and have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and he who abides in the love abides in God, as well as God abiding in him. Verse 17, by this the love has been perfected among us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For as he is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear of that day in the love, but the perfect love casts out the fear of that day, because fear has to do with punishment in that day. And he who fears has not been perfected in the love. We are able to love because he first loved us. If someone would say, I love God, and at the same time would hate his brother, then he's a liar. In fact, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen is not able to love God whom he has not seen. Moreover, we have this commandment from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. Verse 1, chapter 5. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and anyone who loves God, who gave birth, should also love him, a brother, who has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, whenever we love God and practice his commandments. In fact, the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. Furthermore, his commandments are not oppressive, they're not weighty. Since anyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Moreover, this is the overcoming victory that overcomes the world, our believing. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. The Spirit also is bearing witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7. Moreover, there are three that bear witness. Verse 8. The Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three are for one witness. In other words, in agreement. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of people, then we ought to recognize that the witness of God is greater. Moreover, the witness of God is this. He has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him appear to be a liar, because he has not believed in the witness which God has borne concerning his Son. Now the witness to us is this, God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Verse 13, I have written these things to you, little children, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we make a request for anything according to his will, he listens to us. Verse 15, and if we know that he listens to us, whatever we request, then we know that we have the request that we have requested from him. Why? Because he always works for our good. Because he freely gives us all things with his Son. Verse 16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin not unto death, then let him make request. Certainly he will give him life for those who sin, but not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I'm not saying that anyone should ask concerning that. The sin unto death is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the context is talking about. If you've believed in the only begotten Son of God, then you have the life. So you may sin, but it's not unto death. Verse 17, all injustice is sin, and there is sin not unto death. We know that anyone who has been born of God does not sin unto death, but he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one cannot touch him. We know that we are from God, and that the whole world is reclining with the wicked one. Verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. Moreover, we are in the true God by his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. I think that's fabulous in terms of the love of God. Go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. If we've confessed the Lord Jesus, that he's the Son of God, that God's raised him from the dead, then you have eternal life. It's that simple. It just doesn't get any more simple than that. And then everything that Jesus Christ accomplished, the Father freely gives you with the Son. He's justified you. He's glorified you. He's reconciled you. He's saved you. He's made the atonement for you. All of the above. It's all yours because of his great love. Look at verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Let love be without dissimulation. And the word is anokryptos. It means without hypocrisy. It's unfeigned love. In other words, be your true self. What's it say in 1 John 3:1? Beloved, now are we the what? The sons of God. Well, that's your true self. Live like it. Live as the Son of God that you are. It takes us back to verse 1 of chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Under the law, they offered dead sacrifices. We're to offer our body is put for yourself, as a living sacrifice, one who lives to do the Father's will. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world or age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. We bring our minds to believe the will of God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. What standard do we think by? According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And here we have the figure of speech, metonymy. The measure to be believed. He's dealt the measure to be believed by every man. And that's his word. That's the measure we're to believe. So when he says that, beloved, now are we the sons of God, then that's what we believe. And we live as a son of God. It's not just about going to church on Sunday and playing the part of a Christian to make business contacts or to hear about the new organ that was dedicated. It's about being the child of God that he made you in Christ. Now we are the sons of God. So we don't wear a mask. Perhaps you've seen that Japanese kabuki theater thing where they have the mask. On one side, there's the big smile, and on the other side, the big frown. And the actors would hold that in front of their face depending on their part. We don't play the part of a Christian. We are the sons of God. Therefore, we live as a son of God. That's it. Verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. We're to have that kind of brotherly love with one another. You know, I try to remember to say I love you to each of you when you call in. And for some of you, it's hard. It's hard saying that because we get conditioned by the world. Look, love is the whole thing. And it's not phileo love. It's not eros love. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that we're supposed to manifest to one another. Paul calls the brethren beloved over and over and over again. We shouldn't be ashamed to tell one another that we love each other. If we don't, there's nobody else that's going to say it, I'll guarantee you. So just don't ever be shook by that. Let love be without hypocrisy. So just be your true self as a son of God that you are. Live to do God's will. Live love as you renew your mind to his word and you manifest it to others. Verse 10, once again, be kindly affectioned. Kindly affectioned to one another. You know what kindness is? Do you know what affection is? Well, then show it to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Chapter 13. Now, this is in the context of the higher powers in the church, but the truth of it is still true regarding all of us. Verse 8, owe no man anything but to what? Love one another. For he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, it starts with loving yourself as a son of God. That's right. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know how you want to be loved? Well, of course you do. Well, love your neighbor as yourself. You know what it is to be loved. Then love, just like that. Verse 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Ill or evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Live love as the Son of God that you are, as a living sacrifice who lives to do God's will, as a child of God who renews their mind to God's word and manifests it to others. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And you're all familiar with, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, in chapter 12, it discusses services that different members offer, ministries, and manifestations. So it covers all the members of the one body. Then you get to chapter 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men or of angels. Well, that's a manifestation of the Spirit. And have not charity. It's talking about the love of God. I am become just a lot of noise and a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just a lot of hot air. Verse 2. And though I have prophecy, scratch the gift of, though I have prophecy, it's another manifestation, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that'd be word of knowledge, word of wisdom, though I have all faith, manifestation of believing, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, which is the love of God, I am nothing. It's not that the manifestations don't work, but you are the nothing. It doesn't profit you. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, speaking about burning up yourself in service, and have not the love of God, it profits me nothing. Verse 4, charity suffers long, and the article is in the Greek. Instead of saying the love of God, it's the love suffers long and is kind. The charity, the love, envies not. The charity vaunts not itself. It's not all puffed up with its ego. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now there's a big one. Verse 6, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in what? The truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All of these manifestations are in part, and they're going to have an end. Verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I can't wait. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, a mirror, darkly, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Won't that be a great day when Christ returns? Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, the love of God, these three. But the greatest of these is the love of God. That's why Dr. Wirrell used to just teach, you get born again, you renew your mind to what the Word of God says, and then you just live love. That's it. It's pretty simple. Just live love as the Son of God that you are. Look at Ephesians. The scriptures just give us details along the way of what it means. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. The word vocation is calling. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. They have the same root stem in there. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in what? In love. To forbear one another in love. One of the uses of forbear is to uphold one another in love. And it's used that way several times throughout the New Testament. Uphold one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity that is from the Spirit in the bond, uniting bond of peace. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear or beloved children. It's translated both ways. And walk in love as who? Christ. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus Christ said, I come to do thy will, O God. I come to do thy will. And he always did the Father's will. We ought to walk in his steps of love. That's the key to the love, is doing the Father's will. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, I think I want to read this to you from the Working Translation so I don't have to spend as much time dealing with minutiae here. Philippians 1, let's pick it up in verse 9, and I'll read from the Working Translation. 1:9. And so I pray in this manner, that your love may abound even more and more in knowledge. And then he's got a bracket, acknowledgement, end of bracket. And all perceptive awareness, verse 10. So that you may approve the things that are of greater value, so that you may be genuine and inoffensive until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justness that is by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What a prayer, that our love would abound even more and more in acknowledgement. Knowledge is one thing. That's simply to have knowledge. But acknowledgement includes the idea of recognition and obedience, really. Look at chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the what? The same love, being of one accord, of one mind. God wants us to be like-minded and have the same love for one another, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3. Let nothing but be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, be concerned for the interest of other of the sons of God in the household of God. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And from the working translation, it reads, think in this manner within yourselves, which was also the thinking that was in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? I think so. Take a look at Colossians. You see, we could look up every usage of love in the New Testament, and then we could just track it through. You could look up the noun, you can look up the verb. We don't have time to look them all up tonight, so I'm just giving you a few of them here. But that's how we understand how we manifest this love of God. The word interprets itself into verse where it's been used before and in the context. In Colossians chapter 3, let's pick it up in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, those real wild Scythian crew, bond or free, but Christ is what? All and in all. Christ is all and in all. You see, that's who you truly are. So then we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him that created him within you. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. There's another place forbearing shows up. And again, it should be in the sense of upholding one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The working translation of verse 14 translates it, above all these things, clothe yourselves with love, which is the uniting bond of maturity. Above all these things, clothe yourselves with love, which is the uniting bond of maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And we could keep reading. Love is the uniting bond of maturity. 1 Thessalonians. These are just a few of them. You could go back and do a more comprehensive study on your own. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of what? Love. Your labor of love. Love has a little effort to it. That's right. It's hard labor of love. Not just labor, it's hard labor. And walking in love can be hard at times. But in whatever we do, whatever we put our hand to do, we do it all with the love of God. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. And the working translation of 12 reads, may the Lord cause you to increase and to abound in love toward one another and toward all people, just as we also do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable or blameless in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What a time that will be, huh? Look at chapter 5. 5, verse 8. It says, so then, let's see, verse 8. That's chapter 4. Chapter 5. That's why it sounded funny. Chapter 5, verse 8. However, let us, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 13. And to esteem them, speaking of those who labor among you in the word, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. That's just how we ought to treat one another. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And Reverend Cummins translated it, may the Lord guide your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. After reading these verses, it's understandable how Dr. Wirbel defined love or charity as the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. Because it's all a matter of believing what God says in His Word, changing our minds to believe it and to manifest it. Let's close out in 1 John chapter 3. So you confess Jesus as Lord, believe God raised Him from the dead, and then God's Spirit dwells in you and you have eternal life. Now, go live love. 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and sees his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Deed, actions. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, it's kataginosko, finds fault with you, blames yourself. If our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we what? Confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. It's not talking about the Ten Commandments. Listen, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's it. Those are the commandments it's talking about. I'll show you where it comes from. Go back to John 13. John 13, the Last Supper. Jesus had the evening with his disciples before he was arrested. And in John 13, he says in 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's the new commandment, to love as Christ loved. And since he has given us his Spirit, and he has flooded our heart with that love, now we can manifest it. We can live love, dearly beloved. 1 John 3 again. 1 John 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse 24, and he that keeps his commandments, those that we just talked about, dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Just speak in tongues. Well, there's your proof. It's by that Spirit. If it's not manifested, you'd never know you had it. But once you manifest it, then you have that confidence in God. We constantly have to persuade ourselves with the Word of God. We just have to bring our minds back to the truth of His Word. So God has His great love wherewith He has loved us, and we respond by keeping His commandments. So just don't ever forget that He always works for your good in all things, and He freely gives us all things with His Son, and nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. I'd call that great love indeed. So just remember your true identity, and whatever you're facing in your life, live as the Son of God that you are. Bring your thoughts back to what God says you are, what you have, what you can do. Live as the Son of God that you are. Beloved, now you're the sons of God. So just live that way. The victory is yours because you've believed in His Son, and that's all you had to do, was believe in His Son, and He gave you eternal life. Now you're His, and He is yours. So respond to His great love for us by just walking in the goodness of His pleasure. Father, we sure love You and thank You for the night. Thank You for hearing our prayers, listening to us, and for providing the answers to each of those prayers. Thank You for Your people, for healthy bodies, for sound minds, for increasing wisdom and understanding. Father, just substantiate Your word with signs, miracles, and wonders following. And thank You for Your goodness to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Good night, and God bless you. You're wonderful. Have a good week. Good night.